is the last of these 16 names. We come to this fellow named Jephthah. Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. And his story is found over in Judges 11. So go over there to Judges chapter 11. This is this is another story of great faith given to a man that causes him to do what flesh and blood cannot do. This man is called by God and given this faith, and enables him, makes him take a vow that flesh and blood cannot do, would not do otherwise. And this story of Jephthah is a mystery. It's and it's tragic unless we look at it by faith. It's I don't know how many of you have ever read this. We've looked at it before, but it's tragic unless you see it by faith. You see it by as a type of Christ, and you see it as an example of every believer. All right, look at verse 1, Judges 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was a son of a harlot. Gilead begat Jephthah. Yes, this man was born of a harlot. And it says his brethren, verse 2, Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. They thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house. You're the son of a strange woman. We're in Judges chapter 11. Judges 11. So this Jephthah fellow was born of a sinful woman. He was rejected, cast out by his brethren. But God called him a mighty man. And the Lord used Jephthah to be the captain of Israel's salvation, to defeat the enemies of his people. But in order for him to do that, he had to make a covenant, a vow, to sacrifice his only begotten to God. If God would defeat his enemies, he would sacrifice his only begotten, well-beloved child. And that's all a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who know the gospel, what a type of Christ that is, made of woman. Sinful flesh, made of the likeness of sinful flesh. And despised and rejected of his brethren. Despised and rejected. But God sent him to be the captain of his people's salvation. But in order to do that, Christ had to take a covenant to sacrifice himself. God's only begotten agreed to sacrifice himself that the enemies of God might be defeated. That's the type of Christ there. And like the daughters of Israel, after this story is over with, the daughters of Israel, they remembered, and it was a custom to talk about Jephthah's daughter, whom Jephthah sacrificed or vowed. And it was a custom in all Israel to meet together four times a year to remember Jephthah's vow and Jephthah's daughter. And that's why we're here today. We're here to remember our Lord Jesus Christ and that great sacrifice he made. So that's the type of Christ. But now, in keeping with these examples of faith, all right? You with me? Jephthah is a man. And God gives him this faith, which he gives to every believer. Every believer is going to a degree, do what Jephthah did. He's like Jephthah, every believer, like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, and so forth. All right, look at it again. All right, verses 1 and 2, it says that he was a mighty man, son of a harlot. a sinful man, yet God calls him a mighty man. A Gileadite. What is a Gileadite? Well, they're just common. They're poor people. The Gileadites were poor people. Common, lowly, poor people. That's all of us by nature, isn't it? Poor. Common. Sinners. Sons of Adam. All of them. But God calls this man a mighty man. Why? How? Through God. By faith. By faith. Faith which God gives, Scripture says, is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty. Overcome. Or else we'll be overcome. Right? We're weak. Unless God gives us this, the power of His might. Who is he that overcometh? Faith. Faith. Given to a mighty man. You reckon Jephthah thought of himself as a mighty man? Look at verse 3. Jephthah fled from his brethren. See that? I thought he was a mighty man. Courageous and bold. He ran from his brother. Peter, good Simon, you know, will stand up and will take on the world as long as Christ was with him. As long as Christ had his hand on him. Just as soon as Christ took his hand off of him, he's a coward. Fleeing from a... Fleeing. They all fled, didn't they? So do we. So are we. Are we. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the wise man his wisdom. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The only might that Jephthah had, like Samson, was of the Lord. Wasn't it? Of the Lord. Noah wasn't. All these stories. Says Noah, God said, I've seen you righteous. Why? That Noah was a better man than anybody else? Mm-mm. Noah found grace. Why was Samson more powerful than the other man? Huh? His hair. Come on. Think hair make a man strong? Huh? I don't know. By his grace, God's grace, by his spirit, saith the Lord. Same with Jephthah. Not by might, not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. And I know that Jephthah didn't think of himself too highly as he ought. And look at who his companions were. Verse 3. It says they were gathered to him. In verse 3, vain men. His companions. Jephthah was a sinner, born of a harlot. He was a sinner, cast out. And the fellows that gathered to him were all a bunch of cast outs too. They were vain fellows too. Vain means empty. And I couldn't help but think about David down in that cave of Adullam. And every time I think of that, I want to preach on it again. 1 Samuel 22. Oh, I love that story. David was down in that cave, Adullam. And it says, there came to him those that were in distress, those who were discontent, those that were in debt. A bunch of vain fellows. And he became a captain over them. Became a captain. Well, here we are, you vain fellows. You think I'm mighty? Well, I'm my. Well, here we are, okay? We're going to call on the Lord like Jephthah. Here's Jephthah's call. Down in verse 5 and 6. Children of Ammon made war against Israel, and the elders went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. In verse 6, it said to Jephthah, come be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And you know that Jephthah thought, why are they calling me? You know, why would they call me? But this was of the Lord. And this is my story. Why would they call me to lead them? And I have need of being led. Well, it was of the Lord. Apparently. Obviously. Jephthah's call. And verse 11. So what did he do? Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him head and captain over them. Hebrews 13 says, remember them that have the rule over you. Obey them. I hate to even quote that verse. I really do. But that's what God said, didn't He? Huh? And who is sufficient for these things? That's what Moses kept saying all along. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. And our sufficiency is of God. The man that looks to the Lord will be led. And those people that follow him will be led of the Lord. So, that's our strength. And Jephthah says, called on the Lord. He uttered, verse 11, all these words before the Lord in Mizpah. That is, he uttered all his heart. Lord, God of heaven, here am I. Help. Help me. Who am I? That's what is my house. That's what, you know, when the Lord gave Solomon his wish, his heart's desire, he said, you ask anything, and I'll give it to you. You remember what he asked? What did he ask for? He didn't ask for riches, honor, glory. He asked for wisdom. The Lord will give that. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask. That's where it comes from. Wisdom from above. And God will give it liberally, it says. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom more than any other man, and to lead these people. To lead these people. The Lord delighted in giving that. So he gave, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord. And the Lord made him captain. All right? Now look at Jephthah's faith. In verses, and we'll not read all of these for the sake of time, but verses 13 through 28, I'll tell you what this is about here. There was a worldly king of the Ammonites, and he accused Israel of stealing their land. All right? He accused Israel of stealing their land, and what he was doing was charging God with sin. God Almighty gave this land to Israel. And Israel didn't take it. God gave it to them. God told them to go through. And you remember all the people that went out against Israel, and God destroyed them and gave them their land. The meek shall inherit the earth. God has said so. We're not taking it. We're not forcefully taking it. God's given it, the new earth. But anyway, they accused Israel of stealing their land. And you know, the same thing still happening today. The world still demanding of Israel, give us that little strip. Literally. Give us that little Gaza strip. That belongs to us, always had. No, it doesn't. God, just with that little, literally, is reminding the world that He's sovereign. That He gave that land to this group. This people named Israel gave it to them. And you can't take it. Amazing. Amazing. The whole world can go, we're going to take that. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Still, continued proof of God's absolute sovereignty to do with His own what He will. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And they still want it back. They're not getting it back. But the truth that we're going to learn here, God has a chosen people, like Israel of old. God has given His people the promised land. They didn't take it. They didn't deserve it. Israel didn't deserve that land. They didn't deserve anything but wrath, but God. Set His love on them, didn't He? He said, I didn't choose you because you were more than anybody, because you were better than anybody for your righteousness' sake, but I just chose you because I would. Because I did. Because it pleased God to make you His people. And to reveal His glory and His might and His power in you. And to glorify His name before the world who is profaning my name. You're going to glorify my name. That's why I chose them. And that's why He chooses any sinner. Okay? Not because they're better. No. Nobody deserves it. but God, according to His will, chose a people. Unless somebody argue that's not fair, nobody deserved to be chosen. And God is rich in mercy, chose a people as the stars of the sky. It would have been great mercy if He'd chosen one. But He's chosen a people that nobody can number but Him. He chose a people. He has given them the promised land. They don't take it. They don't take it. He gives it. And the world hates that. The world hates that. God's right to be God. You can't do that. I have, God says. We don't like that. Doesn't matter. That's the way it is. And they hate it. And there's a couple of things they call Zionism. The world hates Zionism and Calvinism. Zionism is that Israel, God's chosen people, and you know, they're His people, and that's His land and all that. Well, that's what they hate. Calvinism is just the truth, who God is, chosen the people, and they're His people, and put them in Christ, and so on. And the world, like these people in this story, wars against God and against His people. And they did. These Ammonites and this king went to war against Jephthah and God's people. Went to war against them. You're not going to defeat them. You're not going to defeat God's people. Not at all. And look at Jephthah's... Jephthah believed God. He believed God was true and every man a liar. He said in verse 27, down there, he said, I haven't sinned against thee, but you do me wrong to war against me. The judge be the judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. And He is. Just like in the beginning, it says God doth put a difference. God said, I'm going to show you. Israel, I'm going to show you, I'm going to show the world how that God doth put a difference between Israel and Egypt. And who maketh thee the difference? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord's the judge. And shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, now Jephthah's sacrifice. Oh, my. Oh, my, 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 my. The vow he made. Down in verse 30 and 31, Jephthah, about to go into war and battle, he vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And you know what happened? He went out, and the Lord said, okay. And he went out to battle. And the Lord gave great victory. All right, great victory. And when he came home, look at verse 33. Verse 34. Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came to meet him. His only child. His only child. Look at him. She came out to meet him, happy, dancing. She was his only child. He had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord. I cannot go back. Now go to Luke chapter 14 with me. Luke chapter 14. Many people don't understand what we just read. Many people don't understand what our Lord said here in Luke 14. God's people do, though. He's given us an understanding. Every believer must take this vow, or else he cannot be a disciple. You know that? Now, whether or not Jephthah actually sacrificed his daughter, I don't think he did. Went on to say that she bewailed her virginity and her friends came, and I believe she just remained unmarried. But whether he did or not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is the lesson. This was written for our learning. There's a lesson here. Every believer must, by God's grace, by His Spirit, take this vow, or else he cannot be a disciple of Christ. Look at it. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man, now verse 25, there came great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Some of you are nodding your head because you understand, don't you? You understand what this means, what this is all about. You understand. Did our Lord, is the Lord telling us to hate our family? Oh, no, on the contrary. He told us to love our enemies. But what does it mean by this? Hate. Well, I'll give you an illustration that will suffice. When Brother Walter Gruber, and most of you have heard this, but when Brother Walter Gruber felt called to go to Mexico as a missionary. All right? He had a job at the steel mill and had a family of four at the time. All of them born? Okay, five. Had a family of five. You think he loved his children? Of course he did. More than he loved himself. All right? He felt called to go to Mexico as a missionary. And so he did. Quit his job, sold his house, and moved to Mexico. And back then, it was a hostile land, wasn't it? Hostile, Dad. And we went there a few short years after that. It was hostile. Dangerous just to live there. And their lives were... Walter thought he was going to lose Betty one time. She got so sick. And the children. It's just a hostile land. All right. His parents said this to him, trying to keep him from going down there. They couldn't believe he was going to do this. Take his family, his wife and his children, down to that land. Why was he doing it? He loved his Lord. Felt called of his Lord. Went down there for the Lord's people. And oh, has the Lord blessed that? Well, they said to Walter, you don't love your family. You hate your family. You can't love your children and do something like that. You think that cut him to his heart? Oh, yes, I love my children. But I love my Lord more. Can you say that? Our Lord, we got to be able to. If my mother doesn't love my Lord, if my father doesn't, if my children don't, it doesn't matter. As for me, can we say that? Like, that's what Eli said. The Lord said, I'm going to kill your sons. What did Eli say? That's not right. That's not fair. As my boys, I love those boys. I'm quitting. No. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He'll do right. And so it's just what it is here, and Jephthah's vow, and what our Lord is saying is we prefer the Lord's glory, honor, Lord's people, Lord's kingdom, over our own flesh and blood even. And that's not of ourselves. That can't be. That cannot be. That's of the Lord. Flesh and blood won't do that. Flesh and blood will choose flesh and blood every time. That's why this is a miracle. That's why faith's a miracle. No way you're going to reject your family for God. No. Except by His power, by His Spirit. Look at Jephthah's zeal. I wanted to get to this. This is amazing. This is wonderful. It's wonderful. God wrote this for our learning. Judges chapter 12. The men of Ephraim, verse 1, gathered themselves together and confronted Jephthah. These men of Ephraim, and let me make this story, let me simplify this so we don't have to read it all. These men of Ephraim were supposed to be the brethren of the Gileadite. They're all supposed to be Israel. These men of Ephraim, they claim to believe the same God. Okay? Men of Ephraim. They're supposed to be Jephthah's brethren, the Gileadite's brethren. But, you know, Scripture says they're not all Israel, they're all of Israel. And they're not all Christians, they call themselves Christians. How do you know the difference? Well, these Ephraimites fought with Jephthah. They were supposed to be friends, but they ended up fighting against them. And this is the way that they were to be judged. They were to be judged. Down in verse 7, it says, Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. And we're looking at Jephthah as a type of every believer. 1 Corinthians 2 says, he that is spiritual judges or understands. He has an understanding. God has given unto us an understanding. Judgment. Discernment. And it's the same as Jephthah. All right? Jephthah had this, made this way of judging between the true and the false. They all looked alike. They all called themselves brethren. Ephraim, Gileadite. They all looked alike, born of the same, you know, flesh and blood and all that. Said they believed the same God, and so on and so forth. Look at it. Verse 6. Verse 5. The Gileadites took the passage and in the last line of verse 6, or 5, I'm trying to make this simple. These Ephraimites came, and then to distinguish them from the Gileadites, they'd ask him, are you an Ephraimite? And if he said no, then verse 6, the Gileadites said, say now, they said unto him, say this. We're going to find out whether or not you are one of us or you're an enemy. All right, this is how. This is the password, if you will. We're going to find out whether or not you are with us or against us. Whether you're one of us or not one of us. Whether you're friend or foe. This is how you're going to find out. Verse 6. Say Shibboleth. And those Ephraimites, if he said Sibboleth, you see, he couldn't frame it. He couldn't say it right. They were from a part of the country that their accent and so forth couldn't, like, you know, Mexicans can't pronounce their I's like we do. And you'll know them. And we can't pronounce our like they do. All right? If they said Sibboleth, says they took them and slew them. And there were 42,000 slain. Because, and this is how they judged them. Say Shibboleth. And if a fellow said Sibboleth, kill him. You're not one of us. You're a secret enemy. All right, what's this telling us? All right. Their speech condemned them, in other words. Their speech condemned them. You think somebody says, how terrible, how strict, how narrow. God wrote this down. God told Jephthah to do this. This is how you're going to distinguish. God knows them all. He looks on the heart. God's not killing people because they can't say words right. It goes a lot deeper than that. These people were secret enemies and were fighting against them. If they got in there, they'd eventually would have tried to kill them again. Enemy. This is how the Lord had them distinguish the different. All right? The Lord tells us not to make a man an offender for a word. Somebody says, lucky. Oh, he's... Doesn't mean they're lost. It's just, that's hard to get out of your system sometimes. Isn't it? Southern people say, Lord, have mercy. And they better learn to quit saying that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. There better come a time that they learn to quit saying that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. He won't hold them guiltless to continue to do that. If you say that, or if you know anybody does, warn them. We'd get that out of our head. But nevertheless, people do that, don't they? You sure don't write them off. You know. All right. What is being taught us here is the truth revealed here is this shibboleth, the word, means flowing stream. Scripture says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. With the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. If grace is in the heart, if God has saved a person by His sovereign grace, that's what's going to come out of his mouth. And that's how you're going to know. We're not infallible judges, but it's pretty plain. It's pretty plain. What will come out of the mouth of someone who's been saved by God's grace, that's what will come out of their mouth. Salvation is of the Lord. God's grace. Salvation by grace. So you ask a man, you come across a person who claims to be a believer, a Christian, and you say something about salvation by grace. And you say, yeah, it's an offer. That's shibboleth. Oh, no, it's not an offer. No, that's not right. You say, ask him about salvation. He say, yeah, I made my decision. That's shibboleth. Those things don't come out of the mouth of God's people. I did anything. I made an offer. I let Jesus. There's not one person in all Scripture ever said that. I accepted him as my person. Not one person in all Scripture ever said that. I accepted Jesus. Huh? That's shibboleth. Is that too narrow? You see, people, they may appear to be, you know, sweet, kind, they're one of us. No, oh, hold on there. Their secret desire is to bring, like Satan of their father, the devil, who wants to bring God off his throne. We can't see their heart. God does. And by their words, they'll be condemned, he says. Didn't he say that? Man will be justified or condemned by his word. Let's talk about the will. Whose will is it? Okay, whose will? And a man says free will. That's shibboleth. God's people, every one of them, say thy will be done. It's him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Anybody. It's just too narrow. That's too strict. And we don't cut anybody off. We're not the ones slaying anybody. No, no, no. God does though. And it's not for a word, but those words come out of the heart, you say. If a man knows that his will was hell-bent, his will was, I will not have this man reign over me. That's our will by nature. That was my will. I don't believe that stuff. I don't want God. I don't want that Jesus Christ. You'll never make a saint out of me. Hell bent. Will. Man, Martin Luther wrote a whole book on the bondage of the will. When Adam in the garden said, not thy will, but my will. That's free will, isn't it? Free will. So from then on, man, he plunged mankind
into the bondage of His will. His will is not to the glory of God, not but His, to the glory of Himself. And His will is bound by sin and darkness, and He is not willing. He will not come. He will not believe. He will not thank God. He will not. He will not. His will is evil. Evil. That's free will. That's what man has. We're not splitting hairs over doctrine here. No, 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 no. This is how you know who God's people are. And like I said, the Lord put this in here for a purpose. Shibboleth, shibboleth, shibboleth. Okay? You know somebody, just like you know somebody, whether they're from Connecticut, it's so obvious, or North Carolina, don't you? Say I-C-E. John, go ahead. I-C-E, pronounce that word. It's what you put in the glass. I-C-E.
I
know, I-C-E. What is that? Frozen water. I put you on the spot here. Say it, Kelly. Ice or ice? Now, he's from North Carolina. It's obvious. They don't say it that way in Connecticut, do they? Okay, this is an illustration. God's people. How do you know them? How do you differentiate them? True Christians. How? Is this too narrow, too dogmatic? Make a man an offender for a word? The world, free will, Arminian, unbelievers, the world, even though they call themselves Christian, even though they say it's for God's glory, and even though they say it's Christ, you know, Christ saved them and all that, will say, I. It's I this, I that, I did this, I did this. Mama did this. Preacher did this. Evangelist did this. No, sir. All of God's people, without exception, say, He hath unto Him, not unto us, but unto Him be the glory. Him. How do you say? He did it. How'd you come? He called me. How'd you repent? He gave it to me. Did you decide? No, He did. I played it. That's how you know. That's how you know. And what so seems so strict, of Him, through Him, to Him, by Him, for Him, it's Him. Unto Him be. That's why everybody in heaven is saying, read it in the Revelation 5 and all. Unto Him be all wisdom, power, might, strength, riches, honor, glory. Unto Him. Him. And what seems so strict and narrow and severe back here, this shibboleth or shibboleth, God put that in the Bible. And people hate that story like they do most of it, everything else. But God put it there. It's a truth hidden, but revealed unto us. And as I said, we're not to cut anybody off. We're to love them, pray for their salvation. But this is just how you know. And, okay.